We're looking at chapter 8 in True Community. Chapter 8, sharing our possessions. He begins with a verse from Hebrews 13:16. Says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You know, as he begins this, I can't help but kind of think about how he talks about how great the needs are around us. You guys, how often are we watching TV and we see a commercial come on about some kind of needs that some either a religious or secular group wants to supply and they need you to give? He talks about receiving things in the mail. I mean, you can register your email with one group that you want to hear from, and you will find that email goes out to bunches of others, because if you're willing to give to one, you might be willing to give to their cause too. So there's lots of needs out there. The question is, how do we do that? What is our priorities when we do that? Should we do it in a way that neglects our own family or our own church family? How is that worked out? I think Jerry Bridges wants us to get a handle on what is it to live in a koinonia, a community, where you are sharing what you have with those who do not have. And I believe it's biblical to look at the people around you and pay attention to what's going on in their life and their need. So often, you guys, we're kind of blind to what's going on in other people's lives, even within our own local church. We don't see the struggles that they're facing. Maybe they're too proud to mention it. Maybe they just won't speak up. Sometimes we know, and we need to tell others, that there's a need there and that the church family is able to come alongside and meet that need. Basically, his point is that the needs are very great, but he wants us to consider our responsibility as believers. Look there at page 93, that second paragraph. He says, what biblical responsibility does a believer have to respond to the material needs of other people or to support organizations that specialize in meeting those kinds of needs? Has God given instruction in his word that can guide the Christian in these situations? Or is everyone left to his own sense of charity and benevolence? And exactly what does this subject of giving have to do with the fellowship and community? He wants us to get to thinking about it in the local sense, but he also broadens that out to see, how do we help others around us? Bridges says that the word koinonia, as used in the New Testament, denotes the sharing of possessions with those who have need. The word is used that way in some context. We practice koinonia in the community of believers, and one practical way that is lived out is the sharing of material goods with those in need. Y'all know that in the book of James, it talks about how can you say that you know, you're going to pray for somebody and you're going to send them on their way without helping them. There's a problem with us practicing that. Bridges wants us to think more realistically about what is our purpose. Why has God provided what you have? Is it for you and you alone? Or is it for him to use you as an instrument to reach out to others? To be a blessing to others? To show this what his true community is all about? On page 95, that next section, Bridges writes of two truths he wants us to remember when it comes to sharing our material goods. First, sharing is an act of obedience, and secondly, it's a joyous experience. First, let's think about the act of obedience that he talks of. He says that although emotionally strums on the heart strings are often used to motivate us to give, the best motive should be that we're acting obediently to God. There should be something going on. You know, I don't know. Have y'all ever seen? And I'm not the animal, the dogs in the cages, and they're shivering and they're freezing, and they got the music playing in the background, and it just, you know, you feel sorry for them, for the animals. But when you think about, what about people? What about people? I think we should be careful and conscious about animal needs, but folks, so many times we neglect people. We neglect people. And that should not be. Those animals are not image bearers. Can never be. Will never be. But people are. So we need to pay attention that when it speaks of obedience, bottom of page 95, he says this, we are commanded to share. It is an act of obedience. We owe it to those in need to share with them. This expression of fellowship is not an option drawn from our feelings of pity and compassion. It is a duty commanded by God, arising out of the nature of fellowship as a community relationship. For the Christian who seeks to obey all the will of God, such sharing is simply an expression of obedience to his Lord. So there can be some emotional concern that we have for people. But folks, at the top of the list, it should be that we're acting out of obedience. We want to obey God's command to share what he has blessed us with. You know, we often hear, I will say this, in ministry in the past, I've heard people pray and hear people talk about the fact that everything that I have belongs to God. Oftentimes, we think that he's giving it us because we deserve it. It's owed. It's earned. You know, I appreciate, God, all the blessings you bestowed upon me. And we never think about the fact that God would be using you as a vessel or me as a vessel to take that we have, make a little sacrifice, and give it to somebody who doesn't. Do y'all know that is a privilege in itself? That is a privilege to be used of God as an instrument in those material ways. We think about praying for people. We don't hesitate. Somebody asks for prayer. But there's times that when it comes to material things, we are less likely to give of ourselves in that context. More reluctant. 1 John. Oh, let me say this. He goes on to write, the issue is not whether to give, but rather what needs. Of all those that come to our attention, we should respond to. He said it's not the idea that whether we should give or not. We're trying to figure out which needs has God given me this to supply. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But if anyone, I said James earlier, it was John, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But if anyone has this world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Talk's cheap. Talk is cheap. Everybody can talk about doing stuff. But what about actually carrying something out? Bringing it to a deed. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. The next verse he talks about that I want to bring up is Romans 12:13. He says, contribute, 12:13, Paul says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. On page 96 and 97, Bridges quotes John Murray and Charles Hodges' view concerning this verse from their commentaries, and he concludes this. But the important fact to be noted in Murray and Hodges' interpretations of Romans 13 is that the basis of sharing is relationship. It is because we belong to one another and are members of the same body that we are to make each other's needs our own. Sharing our possessions with other believers in need, that is an act of obedience to the commands of God and evidence that we are in the community of believers. See, it was something that was common among the early church. And we should be no different today. Look at page 98 with me real quick. I want to read a paragraph there. Page 98. Starts at the top there. Generosity is a fruit of the Spirit, but it is also a trait that must be cultivated. One way of cultivating a generous spirit is to gain a greater understanding of and appreciation for our community relationships with other believers. When we truly grasp the fact that we belong to one another, we will want to be generous towards one another, just as parents delight in being generous towards their children. You should be looking at others in your local church and, you know, not so often thinking negatively. By the end of this chapter, he does warn us about people who take advantage of others, you guys. But that, in our looking at our brothers and sisters, we should not first jump to that conclusion, well, they're not managing their funds right. They should go out and get a job. They should. You guys, we're supposed to be like family. And the first thing that comes to our mind when we hear of a need in the church should not be a negative response. I'm just saying. It should not be a negative response. We should get into the details and find out what's going on so that we can be a help and a blessing and do it right. You guys, I don't like just giving out money to give out money. Not long ago, well, it has been long ago. It's been a few years, maybe 3 years ago. We had an elderly fellow backed his truck up here to the fence, and he came in and said that he was having to go somewhere, and Jake and I talked to him, and I just didn't believe him. So I text Kevin, and I said, Kevin, this guy's saying that he's from another state. Go get me a picture of his tag. Well, I didn't look at the response, the photo, but he's from Jackson County. He wasn't from another state. His tag was from Jackson County. He backed up against that fence so nobody would see that he was lying to us. But he was here to take advantage of us. You can ask Jake. I scolded the dude for a long time. I said, dude, if you're lying to us, God will deal with you harshly. You know that? And he started getting mad and aggressive. I said, look, and I kind of figured out because he was getting mad and aggressive and his story was kind of cockeyed, I didn't ask the church to give him money. I gave him money out of my pocket just to get him out of here and just gave him a little something. We gave him a couple pieces of chickens and sent him down the road. But he was out to con. And y'all, the world is full of people who want to take advantage of what the generosity that the church has. On the one hand, we are commanded to walk in obedience, to live this obedience out in the local community. But you guys, we are not just to throw money at people. We're not just to give it away and throw it and think that we're doing good. A drug addict comes up here and wants money. What do you think they're going to do with it? That's not the way you do it. And I may have told you all that story. A friend of mine, his brother was a pastor in Moss Point. Lady came up, had some kids, wanted some groceries, wanted money for groceries. That's what she said. He said, I can't do that, but I will take you shopping. And he went and he started pulling the buggy around and he started putting hot dogs and sandwich meat and bread and all that. You know what happened? She got mad and she shoved that buggy back at him and said, I wanted steak. I don't want none of that junk. And she walked off. The world's full of evil, y'all. And they want to take advantage. What we have to try to do is try to look at how we can truly help and be a need or fill a need for someone else. And yes, it does take a little wisdom. It takes a little navigating, if you will. Generosity is a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also a trait to be cultivated. And I think we ought to seek to cultivate that generosity that he's speaking of. So it's an act of obedience, but it's also a joyous experience. He says on page 98, with this short section, just consider the question, do you see it a privilege to share in providing help with to a brother or a sister in bearing their burden? Do you see something? He gives us Proverbs 11:25. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Folks, I don't want to take this to the Pentecostal view of, you know, as long as you give to a preacher, you're going to get it back. I guarantee you this, you will reap what you sow. And if you share share generously with those who need, God's just saying, I will take care of you. Y'all, I've watched that in my life. I've watched that in my life over time. Carol and I have seen some stuff. Trying to feed kids, having to get pantry food from the seminary I was attending, barely making it. Church was giving me just enough money to keep me humble, as they say. But I've seen God provide in ways that boggled our minds. And I do believe that those who seek to walk in this obedience will find it also a joyous experience to share the burdens of others. There at the bottom of page 98. Thank you, sir. The bottom of page 98. He says this, as we give, God's grace is displayed in our lives. Paul makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians 8:1 and 9:14 that the obedience and the generosity and sharing is a result of God's grace at work in our lives. We are not naturally inclined to take from our pockets to meet the needs of others. Y'all, that is to the world, that's foolish. You know why most people give? To get a tax break. He says this, but God's grace can transform us from selfish graspers to generous sharers. And this transforming grace of God at work in us brings glory to Him. Page 100. Where to share? There are many needs within the body of Christ. Local within a church as well as outside in the local body. How do we see our responsibility to help others? Do we just throw money to fix a problem? I'm just going to give y'all a couple of little examples. How about Brother Corey? Everybody's kind of seemed to like him. He's been a blessing to us. Is there a way that we could help him financially? He's not a member. Wait a minute. He's not a member. Is there a way we can be a blessing to him and his family's need in this time? We've talked about mission giving. You know, Brother Cody Cunningham and reaching and teaching. We haven't made a motion to do that, but we need to be given to missions. That's giving outside the church. That extra gift for Brother Mitch Sunday. Y'all, he really appreciated that. He really appreciated that to help his time and expenses. You guys, what about providing needs for the D-Nash Children's Home? When you would bring an extra can of beans, a case of beans or a pack of toilet paper, anything that would help them. That's giving outside. That's being a blessing to the D-Nash Children's Home. How about what's trying to be done now in trying to provide a meal for the barbers? Meal prep and delivery, helping them out. There's all kind of ways, you guys, as we look around, that we could be giving and helping. And it all falls into these two things where he's talking about. Where to share. We're doing it because of obedience, and we do enjoy doing it. Even bringing food on Sunday. You bring more than enough for your family. You are bringing food for that meal to feed visitors. We encourage visitors to stay with us. That's an act of grace and giving and sharing. Carol and I give regularly to Rick Thomas Counseling because he's been such a blessing to me. Ministries outside the church. Bridges gives some personal examples in this section, but needs are all around us. There's always somebody who could use some help. Somebody we could be a blessing to, an encouragement to. And we ought to seek to do that. Ask the Lord, how are you to help? Well, maybe you don't have the finances to help, but can you make a meal for them, or a dessert or something like that to share? Do you have some time to offer? There's many ways to do that. Page 102, regularity of sharing is what he calls that section. Systematic and regular giving is taught in the Scripture, as Bridges points out. There's also unexpected needs that just pop up and arise, you guys, and we ought to be able to let that grab our attention and look at our resources and examine what we could do to help and be a help to someone else, to be a blessing to someone else. So our giving to our local church is regular, and our church resources are there to meet needs, both expected and recurring, as well as those times where it's unexpected needs that arise, that we are able to have something to share. And he encourages us in that section to give regularly. Make it a habit. Page 103, he says this: we in the body tend to give to our local churches, various parachurch ministries at home, and mission works overseas. But we tend to give very little to other members of the body in need. The reason for this, I believe, this is his understanding, I believe, lies in the fact that we have lost sight of the true meaning of fellowship, of the biblical practice of koinonia. If someone else has a need in the church, it needs to be made known, to see what we can do to provide that. And I agree with Bridges. Over my years of ministry, I've seen some people suffering through great things, and they were keeping it to themselves. We didn't find out until afterwards. But what if God wants us to help meet that need? He does mention tax laws in the U.S. and how, you know, you can write an offering to the church, you can write that off your taxes, but if you have somebody, an individual, you can't take a tax deduction for that. It has to go through the church. It has to go through some organization that, you know, that's registered with the government. Unless you're a government official, then you can give to individual. Never mind, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have went political there. We give because it's obedient practice. We're obeying our Lord, and it's a joyful experience, as the Scripture teaches. But as I close, Bridges closes here. He gives us a warning of those who take advantage of the generosity of believers. They use and abuse the giving hearts of God's people. They want to take advantage of that good nature that exists in so many. We can be naive and too trustworthy, but we can also be too hard and judgmental sometimes too. Trying to find a happy balance, I believe, happens as we share in the community information about what's going on in the lives of those in our church. There are those who are church consumers, you guys. They come basically to receive from others and contribute themselves very little directly to the fellowship. Bridges, in his experience, is pointing out those who come only to take advantage of resources. That's who he's really wanting to address. There are people who just come and take it. Advantage of the resources of God's gracious people. He calls this class of people who are in need, but he calls them a class of people, I should say, who are in need, but rather irresponsible. He believes you need to pay attention to what people do with the gifts that are given. Are they abusing the gifts? Will they abuse the gifts? We need to be conscious of that. And he closes with that verse, all too familiar, sometimes often misused: if they won't work, neither should they eat. But I believe that in Jerry Bridges' experience, he's seen lots of that take place in a church where people took advantage of good-hearted believers trying to honor God with their giving, but they themselves refuse to lift a finger to their own need. I think it's always important, you guys, when people come to this church and they say they're from the community and they're asking for money, the first thing you should ask them is, what church do you go to? You call yourself a believer? Have you talked to your home church? Would you like me to go to your pastor or to your home church? And let's ask them for money first. You know what happens? Generally they say, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. They might name a church, but it may not be somebody, someplace where they've ever darkened the door. You know why? Because all men are sinners. And we take advantage of others and their resources. We tend to lie about our situation so that we can gain something. In that case, all people look to themselves and their own idol. Their view and their understanding of all things is correct, and that's my need is more important than your need. And there's people, the world's full of people just like that. Bridges just wants us to be careful about our charities, which I believe is wise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time and just the thoughts that come from this chapter. Make us think deeply about this, Father. Help us to do right financially. Father, let's be aware that it is your resources. And we're stewards of it. We're stewards of what you give us in our individual lives and families. We are stewards of what this church has gathered together. Give us wisdom. But give us a compassion for needs. And Father, make those needs obvious to us. Help us to see them so that we might serve you in the way that this chapter teaches. We thank you and we praise you. We ask forgiveness in Christ's name. Amen.